back. Scott here, 102.9 FM in Stouffville with Laurel and Raj. And we're talking about, amongst other things, making conscious contact with God. God, the way we understand God. When you, either one of you, or both, one at a time though, think of conscious contact with God, you know, we as humans, or I'll speak for myself anyway, I'm always after some sort of concreteness, and I found that in our faith just because Jesus is a man, you know, and without that concreteness, I don't have any concreteness in the faith other than evidence through maybe answers to prayer and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you what I do. I actually have one of the most common depictions of God or of Jesus, you know, that picture, kind of Italian style Jesus, but it's from, you see it everywhere, you know, it's the one most recognizable. And anyway, I have one of those on the wall in my office, just to my right actually, and what I do when I want to challenge myself is I just look at that, and I look at his eye, you know, what I, you can't really make out his eyes, but in my head I can, and that's what I look at when I want to challenge myself, because if I want to do it in total honesty and purity, I've got to get pretty close to the Spirit of God somehow, and that does it for me. But again, that's that concreteness, that's that connection, and that's the way I believe, and I believe intellectually, that's why I chose to believe that way, although I feel in my case it was a lot more than an intellectual thing. I was kind of, you know, I didn't have any choice. But anyway, to ask the question, when you think of conscious contact, what does it mean, conscious contact, to you guys? Okay. Laurel, do you have a...
Well, I like singing. You know, I'm not saying that I'm really good at it, but I'm just... I enjoy music, and I enjoy singing. And especially on a long trip or a long drive... Because all my family is an hour and a half away from here. My son's in Waterloo going to school. I was raised in Waterloo, so all my significant relationships are in another place. So it means that I drive, and I usually put the praise and worship music on and just start singing, and I just find. You know, when you're singing praises to God, you just kind of get certain sensations, certain, you know, a sense of peace, and it could be instruction, too. I remember I was working on a piece of artwork for my son, and I actually got some of the ideas for that while I was singing. And I thought that was really kind of cool.
That's interesting, because you're obviously making a connection of sorts through your listening or singing or a combination of those. And that's when you get some answers that are believable, because you're, in a sense, you're seeking after God, which is what this step's all about. And then you're hearing from Him, you know. And that's what I find, and I find that when I'm actually looking into scripture, you know, looking at parts of the Bible and so on, or reading it, anything that comes to me now during that time, I take as from God, because I don't believe any evil can get anywhere near that sort of, you know, there's a sanctuary going on sort of thing then, and nothing can get in there other than, you know, goodness or godly things, joy and all the attributes of God. But anyway, and then I accept that whatever's coming at me during those times, because they're kind of like a worshipful or serious seeking times, I believe is coming from, you know, God, the way I understand God, and I move on that. And if I don't, I don't feel good. You know,
mm-hmm.
Things, I just know something's wrong, you know, and it's the same if I start a day and don't go near any of these kinds of things at all first. The day just doesn't work right, and at some point I have to come back and almost start over. Like, and I've done that often lately. I'll get halfway through the day and I've got to go back to the beginning here. I've at least got to read this and hopefully have enough gumption and courage and so on to grab scripture and look at it in there, because that makes a difference for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all will be added to you. And I think when we make efforts to sing, read, listen to maybe gospel music, mm-hmm. Listen to music that is worshiping God, whatever your, yeah. you know, higher power is. And I think, as you said too, you feel good about it. And when I get some art ideas that I know my son's going to like, that I know, you know, might speak to him, mm-hmm. Then I don't discount it, because it's a positive thing. It's a good thing. It's for someone's benefit.
But it's an uplifter, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
When it happens to you, it's like, gee, I know I did right here, you know, because I'm lifted up internally, and I can't really explain that, but it sort of happens instantaneous, and it is an experience. It's a physical experience, so that talks, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you, right? Mm-hmm. Any comments on
conscious contact,
like, you know, the reality of the concreteness?
I was reading an article about step 11 the other day, the spiritual aspect of step 11, not the A version. Somebody had mentioned that the conscious contact, in his opinion, is you love God, which is fine, but honestly and diligently, how much do you obey his commandments?
Yeah.
That's two different mm-hmm. aspects of, you know, having conscious contact with God.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I love God, yes, everything, blah, blah, blah. But then are you obeying his commandments? Are you doing what he's asking you to do? Just having a relationship with God, like how you and I have, that does not count. It's like you have to go deep into it. You mm-hmm. have to give everything unto him and accept what he gives back to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think the readiness to achieve that is when the connection thing happens. You know, I've wanted that for a lot of years, but didn't get it. And then somewhere along the line, I got it. And I mean, I only glimpsed these kinds of things. I don't live in them all the time, or I'd probably be smoke. I'd be taken to wherever I'm going to go. But you know, yeah, they're powerful times, you know, when you're seeking. But the purity, you remember they talked about the four absolutes in 12-step, you know, purity, love, what are the other ones? You remember? Honesty.
Honesty, open-mindedness, willingness.
Yeah.
That's the three,
that's okay.
Three characteristics. Yeah, yeah, I mean, the main ones for...
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but...
Okay, anyway, honesty, purity, and love were three of them, and you don't get the sensation of that all the time, but around certain things, like if you can obey something, this is evidence for me personally, if I can obey something and feel really good about it, but I used to hate the thought of doing that thing, then I know there's been an internal change in me. You know, I'm doing something that used to be a pain or an aggravation, and I'm loving it. You know, I'm loving it, and I'm serving, and I'm not doing it for me. I could tell you guys that, and you know, you take it or leave it, but if I know it in my heart that what I'm doing is I feel something that I'm being told to do, told from on high, and I didn't like doing that particular thing before, and now I'm doing it, and I'm loving it, and I'm feeling like I'm serving, I'm doing right, I'm being uplifted again, then I know, you know, somehow in my soul that I'm in the right place at the right time and at that moment, you know, and those glimpses are often short-lived, but man, they're worth going for, aren't they? You know.
I agree with Raj when he said about your willingness to obey. Mm-hmm. You know, when you develop a relationship, a rapport with God, a consistent time, you know, studying his word, you want to obey. You know, there's a transformation there. It's I'm not saying we're all perfect or anything like that, because we all fall short, and over time it changes your heart, where you are more aware of your obedience, and you're more aware of, oh, this, what I'm doing here isn't right. I need to make a change. And you're just more aware of what you're walking into a lot of the time. I had that happen to me the other day. This one girl, she had this idea, and I was like, you know what, I don't feel comfortable doing that. You know, I don't want to go there. I kind of felt like I was compromising. It just didn't. And before, in the past, I would have been, whatever. But now, I don't know. It's like, I'm not afraid to say, I don't feel comfortable doing that or going there. I'll pass. Thanks. See you later.
Well, that's interesting, because you've just said in my mind that I've decided that simple people pleasing is just not necessarily the right thing, and it's usually not.
Yeah, exactly.
But what, you know, it's the old thing, what other people think, or what are they going to think. And, I love that, you know, what other people think of me is none of my business.
You know? Well, it's even gotten to, you know, television. Like, I don't have a television. I go to my dad's house, and he's watching TV, and it's like, when the news comes on, it's like, I don't want to watch the news. I find it depressing. I don't like it. Turn it off. Let's just talk. Let's go play cards. Let's, you know, do something else. Because it's so negative. It's such a downer.
Well, the elections are going on today, and the votes are coming in. That's personal thing I'm concerned, though. You know, a lot of people here in Canada don't realize how important they are to us, you know, and what always comes to mind, and don't draw any conclusions from this, but this program enforces something that says, make sure we put principles before personalities.
Mm-hmm.
It would make all the difference in all the political situations everywhere in the world. But you know, if we would only focus on you know, facts and results and not what somebody says, man. If you listen to the both sides of the coin, it is so diametrically opposite. You think, how can these people even live in the same, in a lot of cases they can't, in the same country. But anyway, that's for another topic. Next part of this, not next part, but one of the pieces I pulled out was, you know, prayer and meditation. You know, what do they mean to different people? Some would say, well, prayer and meditation simply means reading spiritual literature, such as the Bible, of course. And then, you know, pondering it if you want, or you know, mulling it over, or thinking about it. Others would say, well, you know, prayer is prayer. I talk to whomever, whatever my higher power is, and, you know, and that's prayer. Meditation can be anything from an Eastern philosophy of focusing on something like a candle, for instance, you know, until your mind kind of moves into another zone, that type of thing. I would say, for me, meditation is the actual art of letting go. But letting go of my mind and the way that works, the same way I would let go of my muscles when I finished some sort of workout and just wanted to relax my body, I would just let all those muscles completely relax, and I would go limp. And I try and practice, but not be coercive about it, practice the art of letting my mind do that. And I find it works very powerfully, because the mind, many things will keep on appearing in the mind, but if I don't grab onto them and mull over them, let's say thoughts, for instance, are coming by, and they always are. Envision the little stream with the little boats on, meandering along the stream that's unending, and these boats represent your thoughts, and I let them go now. No matter what they look like, the bright ones, the dull ones, and so on, during this time of meditation, I allow all those to just move on by without pulling into them, because the moment I do, I start creating a dam. I grab one, have a look at it, should I do some more things with this thought, and while I do that, other ones are getting by, and I'm not getting a chance to look at them, so I grab a couple others to hold on to and wait, and the next thing you know, I'm fragmented. I've got a dam going on, it's getting bigger, and the one thought I pulled over in the beginning means nothing anymore, throw that out, and so on and so forth, and until I unblock my stream, I'm back into that anxiety sort of mode, probably, or depressive if I think about anything that's too negative. So, that's what meditation means to me. Prayer is prayer. What about you guys? What's your sense of how do you meditate if you do, and what does it mean to you?
Well, I learned this from my friend Nadia. She would say to me, "Laurel, you can't control everything, so just surrender it all to God." And I remember when she first said that to me, I thought she was crazy, and I was like, "What do you mean? You know, this sounds so whacked out." And then I realized, particularly through my son, we can't control the behavior of other people. We can't control what they think. We can't control anything, really. But when my friend Nadia said, surrender it to God, meditation for me is saying to God, I can't control my son. I can't control much. But I know who can. And for me, it's just saying, look, God, I'm nothing without you. Please take care of this person for me. Take care of this person to me. Take care of these things. And surrendering it to him and trusting him that he will work out a plan that will be for our good.
Good. That's a nice summation. Raj, when you think of the same thing, do you have a way of meditating? Like, do you, or are you, I know you're prayerful, I know you have your morning dedications and so on that you do. Does meditation take part at all? And I mean, you're an Eastern fellow, so when you think of meditation, I'm not saying that you need to think of that kind of meditation either, although I've kind of adapted who I am to a lot of those things too, because they just worked in my life, and they added to my my beliefs the way I believe, and anything that adds to them is good, for me. So is there no meditation in your
No, there's no meditation, but I do pray. Mm-hmm. But my meditation is having a conversation with him.
Okay.
I think if you remember, there was a book you had given me last year or 2016 about a monk.
Oh.
There's two brothers, two monks, and he says even if you mention the word God and say thank you 1 minute a day, that goes a big way in understanding God and having a connection with God.
So saying the right thing.
At least, sorry, it's 1 second or 1 minute per every hour.
Oh, okay.
So my meditation with God is I talk to him. Of course, I fight with him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are things that I'm coming to understand. Today I understand what my father went through. Because of this program, for 40 odd years, I never understood what that man went through. Yeah. Today, I understand. I get the pain that man was in, and there was no outlet for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so one thing.
For programming, in a sense, yes. Saving your life. I mean, I'm sure God's doing it for you, but that's the vehicle he's using, isn't it? He's used this 12-step philosophy, like in whatever ways you've come at it. So. That's great. That's great. And a lot of people actually will pray, and just the way they pray. Like, I like that idea of, like, because to me, that conscious contact has to have a consistency. And when you're saying, you know, a second, an hour, or something like that, that means you don't ever go much time on your own spiritually. And I think that's the key to so many of these things. Like, people, a lot of people come and look at these programs, and but they don't go deep enough, and they say, oh, I have wonderful information, you know, and they take it in and read a couple of books, and, you know, you might not see them again for a while until they're really hurting. But anyway, you know, when you know, the master appears, things will happen. But, you know, how does the work? But when you pray, you may be waiting during parts of your prayer, you know, just... like they were saying about Mary pondering things. Now it's a little different, but I think that would probably come from praying. You know, you're talking to a spiritual entity, and you want to hear from that spiritual entity, you know, whether you're conscious of it or not, and that would probably break up the prayers. I mean, if you had 40 things to pray about, and you know, wanted to get through them, and I've gone that way too, it's almost like a chore, and at the end you feel not well, or I would feel not well, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with this picture here, you know? Then I come to a simple thing like this, and what does the last part of that thing say? You know, praying only for God's will for us, and the power to do that. So, you know, and in all sincerity and so on, but I think the reality is, what's important is my relationship to my higher power, and how there's evidence in my life, and that person, whoever that is, will benefit just from being there, and me being there, because of the spirit that's in me, not because of me, but because of that spirit, and that spirit will do what needs to be done, and that's my version of the Holy Spirit, you know, in essence, and I believe believers carry the Holy Spirit everywhere they go, and that's why I feel that I'm important, you know, not because of who I am or what I look like, but what I carry around. And if I allow that entity to do what that entity can do, though I believe that entity will make a big difference in other lives. You know, and I don't have to see it anymore. You know, it's not like if I see it, oh yeah, I'll celebrate. I will, because I'll celebrate for that person, you know, or something. But, or in jails when we see people changing momentarily, you know, and you folks have got to come in these jails sometime. It's phenomenal service. Just the way, you know, a group of men, like last night we had 9 men out and I had 2 girls with me. You know, one of the girls made the mistake of starting to hug them, and I had to tell her after, but anyway. You know, and it was a total sincere thing, just loving it. So it went over okay, but I've seen where it might not. So, you know, but anyway, we're in that situation, and when we first got together, you know, there's different guys, a few black guys here, a few other colors, and white guys, and so on, and, you know, they all have their place, and they feel it, and they're all, it's all like a segregated, even though they're all from the same wing in this particular prison, they're all, you know, these two fellows are together, and those 3 are, and those 7 are, and that sort of thing. So, or there's a loner maybe over here. But by the time that meeting's over, those guys are all, you know, and they're happy and they're joyful, and they really believed that living in that moment was a real good thing, and a good time, and a good happening, and it just kept going. So, I mean, I thrive on that stuff, you know, I just thrive because they want us back, and you know, it's amazing. Not that we're wanted, but whatever happens to those guys when they're in that room, they want more, and I want more, and you know, I just want to keep going back and starting more of these meetings everywhere. So, and that leads me to that question, you know, what are we going to do? There's 50,000 people roughly in prison in Canada, 40,000 or 80% are in there directly or indirectly because of substance abuse, you know. That's just substance abuse. I mean, there's a lot of other kinds of abuses out there, you know. By the time you put it all together, you know, like 90% are in there and shouldn't be. they're in there because they're bona fide addictive personalities, bona fide genetically flawed people with a propensity toward addiction, whatever way you want to describe it. But those of us who know, when you're hooked, when you cross that line, you're hooked. You know, unless you get some special kind of help from on high and a whole bunch of people around you supporting you and lifting you and keeping on you, you're not going to make it. You're going to die. And most do. People don't realize that. We got 40,000 people in prisons right now. We have another 200,000 people at home who are worried sick over all these guys and girls in jails. And, you know, a whole strata of society that's not being touched by this kind of stuff. And our dream is to make this thing touch those guys, to take it out and touch those ones at home and change the spheres that are going to make the difference. So what are we going to do about that? You know, and I believe what we're doing is the right thing. It's just, how do we expand that in such a way that we get to enough people before, you know, fentanyl takes another 100,000 of them out, you know what I mean? So anyway, a total other topic, but a very passionate part for me. So, and knowing the Spirit of God, I wrote big letters here, and you know, going into those kinds of places and having that sense that you're going to leave a bunch of happier people, even though I get to leave and they're stuck in here, and that is pretty that's pretty profound, and you've got to do it, I mean, to know it. And these other girls who come in these places with me, and this is a men's prison, this is not, nine guys come in and they're all I'm 6 feet tall, they're all bigger and taller than me, and you know, they got a 5 foot nothing woman here too, and you know, who's as friendly as the day is long, and but you know, in the week before we were in one of these settings, there was an altercation, the guy had planned to get another guy, and that was the setting where it happened, and we're in our chapel, this is going on, one guard's at the door, he can't come in, protocol says they need 4 or 5 when there's anything going on. We're in there with these, this stuff going on, it starts with one guy hammering another guy, and then someone comes to help, and then you're not allowed to help, so someone comes to get him off, and there's 5 in it by the time they open the door, and this, the room's not much bigger than this, so you can imagine. So anyway, I had to get these girls, one of them was with me during that, I had to get them back in there and make sure they're not out for the long shot. And they were great. That's what I mean. They ended up hugging these guys. I guess they were so relieved that there was people in there as hungry for wisdom and for God and for some sort of spiritual experience as it was for anything else. Now, I've said a whole bunch, and now we've got to take another break and hopefully get a bit of a song.
Yeah, I think it's time for a song, and maybe we'll go with our usual theme song, Gary Wright and Dreamweaver, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.
Get to